2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is going to be, oh, hallelujah, 2 Corinthians 10. Before the service, your pastor came into the room where I was praying, and he said, "What do you think about 2 Corinthians chapter 10? And I said, "That's where I'm preaching this morning. That's what I think about it." So, and not just 2 Corinthians 10, but he asked me about these very verses that we're going to talk about. So 2 Corinthians 10, let's begin with verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 3, it says this. "For although we walk in the flesh," what he means there is, although we live in this material realm, "we do not war according to the flesh. And the reason for this is the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they are exceedingly powerful through God, and they are designed," this version says pull down, but what it actually means is to grab hold of, throw to the ground, and break to pieces that cannot be put back together, to demolish strongholds, to demolish strongholds. And look at what he says here. He says, praise God, praise God, "casting down imaginations and every high thing that places itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Lord, I thank you today that you sent us here. You sent us here to say something. You sent us here to do something. Not just to discharge words, but to set people free. Not just to transfer knowledge, but to have the knowledge that is the knowledge of God. To have the knowledge that makes people into the image in which you ordained for them to bear. And it's going to be awesome, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you that Satan is defeated and Jesus Christ is Lord in this place. I take authority over anything that the enemy would try to do right now in Jesus' name. And I declare the Holy Spirit has free reign in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, we have to ask ourselves, what makes a minister who has had a ministry for years and has had results just fall and everything he did just crumble? What makes a longtime believer that knows about healing, that knows what the Bible teaches about by his wounds we were healed, that knows what the scripture teaches about prosperity, that knows what the scripture teaches about remaining filled with the Spirit, go year after year after year, broke, sick, and not overflowing with the Spirit of God? What makes believers who know the truth in here live a life of mediocrity? What makes believers just simply say, I longingly look into the promised land. I know what's in there. I've heard what's in there. But I just look from afar. What is the difference between being there and living in the promised land and cutting off the heads of giants? What's the difference between knowing about Jesus and actually knowing Jesus? Oh, what's the difference? I'm going to tell you what the difference is. The difference is strongholds. The difference is that there are strongholds in people's lives. The difference is that, well, think about it. How can people be so free in some areas, but in other areas, they're just shielded by defeat? I mean, they're just shielded. The Word of God doesn't, if it gets in, it certainly doesn't flow out. It certainly doesn't manifest in their life. It's because of strongholds. And I'm going to teach you this morning by the Spirit of God. Actually, the great teacher, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you how to demolish strongholds in your life. I am telling you, there are strongholds in many of your lives, or the Holy Spirit would not have put this into my heart. And if there are not strongholds in your life, you can take this and set other people free by the Spirit of God, because Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And what was one of the main purposes? To break the chains, to set at liberty those who are bound. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is not only within me this morning, but He's upon me to set you free. I saw myself being used by God, laying hands on many of you and chains falling off of you, and you leaving this place saying, "I can't even hardly fathom what God did in my life today." Oh, that's what he wants to do if you'll let him. That's what he wants to do if you'll let him. You see, there's a type of thing that happens to people. And this is what happens. Let me show you these scriptures. I'm just going to go through this as we move along. We're going to test this out. There we go. Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Again, it's the difference between admiration and imitation. Do you know what I mean by that? You can admire Jesus. You can say, it's amazing what Jesus did. But what Jesus wants for you is not just to admire what He did. He wants you to imitate it by walking in it yourself. And there's a big difference. And that's the place that He wants to take you this morning. He wants to take you out of living vicariously through other spiritual ministers and saying, oh, I wish I could be like Kenneth Copeland. I wish I could be like Kenneth Hagin. Did you hear what, as great as Pastor Jan is, which he's great, I wish I could be like Pastor Jan. Oh, Jesus says, stop wishing and start being not just like Kenneth Copeland or Pastor Jan or Kenneth Hagin, but like me, like Jesus, you see. And start imitating. He said, the works that I do, you would do, but you can't do unless you are. And you are by faith, but God wants you to be in reality what you are by faith. And it's strongholds that will keep you there. The scripture teaches us, it says this, then you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. What's the then? If you just go back to the previous verse, he said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, if you contend for my word, if you refuse to allow the enemy to steal the seed, if you allow it to take root in your heart and let it build up and don't let any stronghold in the way, then you'll know. Paul talked about this, the difference, remember, between imitation, or between admiration and imitation. Paul said this, I want to know Christ, not know about Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings. I'd like to rip that out of my Bible, that part. I'd just like to have power of His resurrection, but it doesn't stop there. It says, and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. It doesn't mean you have to be sick, broke, and defeated. It just means that your life has to be yielded over. These part of those high thoughts that exalt themselves, that cause those strongholds to be built in your life. I'm going to teach you, what is a stronghold? We need to ask ourselves that question. What is a stronghold? This is what we're going to answer today. How are they built? How are they maintained? Not just how are they built, but how do they stay in place for 20, 30 years? How do they stay there? How are they so strongly entrenched in the lives of believers? Paul's not writing to unbelievers. He wouldn't say to unbelievers, look, you know the knowledge of Christ, begin to walk in it. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to those who are the recipients of the greater covenant. So how are those strongholds built? What are they? How are they built? How do they maintain themselves? And how do you demolish them? That's what we're going to see today. And the first question is this. What is a stronghold? Because there's great misunderstanding. See, if the devil can get you to misunderstand what a stronghold is, there's no way you can defeat it. You can't defeat what you don't understand. You have to understand what it is. And so I'm going to answer that first question. What is a stronghold? Now think about 2 Corinthians, the whole book. I have a great love for 2 Corinthians because I just, this book is being printed this week with Harrison House, this book that I just wrote on 2 Corinthians. And so, but I'm not speaking to you on it because I just wrote this. I'm speaking to you on it because the Spirit of God said do it. That's why I'm doing it. But the whole book of 2 Corinthians is all about freedom. It's all about, and there's this great theme of humility. And so you're going to see a correlation between strongholds and pride. And it's interesting that you mentioned humility right before I came up here because it's a key component to understanding strongholds. So what is a stronghold? A stronghold is, it's a fascinating word. And I'm not going to throw a bunch of Greek words at you. I don't want to. We did that yesterday. That was great. Your pastor would love it. He would say more. But this word in Greek that is translated in English, stronghold, it means a military fortress, a military fortress. But it's really more than that, because here's the way it would work. Whenever in that Greek culture, whenever they would go to found a city or to take land. Now think about this. Whenever they would go take territory, the first thing they would do after the enemy was driven out is they would look for the highest point in that land. And that it couldn't just be high. It had to be rocky. It had to be solid bedrock. And they would say, that's where we're going to put the stronghold. Because in a time of defense, it is almost impenetrable because it's the highest point, it's the strongest point, but there were two more things it had to have. It had to have a water source. See, for the enemy to maintain his strongholds in your life, there has to be a source of constant lies flowing into it. There has to be a source, because without that water source, no matter how strong the walls were, it couldn't survive, it couldn't last. And secondly, it had to be a field that was fertile right around it. So if there was a place that was tall, if there was a place that was rocky, if there was a place that had a field and a water source, that's the spot for the stronghold. Same thing in your lives. The enemy needs a fertile place where he can sow the seeds of deception, where they can take root in order for that stronghold to be built in your life. But here's what most people think a stronghold is. They say, well, you know, pray for me because I just can't stop drinking. It's a stronghold in my life. Pray for me. I just can't stop lusting. It's a stronghold in my life. Pray for me. I just can't stop complaining. It's a stronghold in my life. None of those things are strongholds. Those are all a symptom, the sure sign that there's a stronghold in place. The stronghold isn't the habit. The stronghold isn't the thing that holds you in bondage outwardly. The stronghold is always a way of thinking. It's always a way of thinking. And you need to understand that it's a thought process that is a stronghold. It's it's a mindset. I will tell you this word because it's too rough. It's logismos. And what this word means, this mindset, this reasoning, is calculating by weighing and comparing. And what he means there is it's a natural way of thinking. Now, thank God for a natural way of thinking when you're driving down the road. Thank God for a natural way of thinking when if you're an accountant. You know, I don't want an accountant that just says, I don't really know numbers. I just pray in the Spirit all day. I don't want an accountant like that. I thank God for the natural way of thinking. I don't want an architect that just says, an angel told me to put a beam over there and this. We don't need to test it. We don't need to see the structural integrity. Thank God for the natural way of thinking. But what he's talking about is a natural way of thinking that is your own wisdom, your own way of thinking. And that's the reason he ties it with arrogance, because it's pretty arrogant of us to think we've got it figured out. We understand how this works, and we don't really surrender our thought process to God. And what it does is this. You're born again. Your spirit is made new. It's the home in which the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives on the inside of you. Sometimes our theology gets messed up if we're not careful. We say things like, come, Holy Spirit. Come from where? Where would he come from where? He's on the inside of us. Jesus already told us that. Jesus said, I'm there at the right hand of the Father. If you want to know where the Holy Spirit is, look inside the church. And the church is not a building. There are buildings, and that's great. But the church is you and every other believer who is a member. That's where he is. And so he's on the inside of you. Not an inferior spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. How bad can your situation get other than dead? You say, I'm just as good as dead. Not really, because you wouldn't be able to say that if you were just as good as dead. You're not dead. And even if you were, the same spirit that raised Jesus lives on the inside of you. But what a stronghold does is it allows for that life on the inside of your spirit, man, to keep from coming out into your daily life. Jesus said, out of the heart flow the issues of life. Actually, Proverbs said that. Proverbs says, it's fascinating. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Another translation said, out of it flow the issues of life. You say, I got issues in my marriage. It's my wife. No, it's a heart issue. I got issues in my finances. It's my bills. No, it's a heart issue. I've got issues with my kids. It's a teenage problem. No, it's a heart. All the issues of life flow out of the heart. And what God wants to flow out of your heart is His life, is His overcoming spirit. But if there's a stronghold, that's exactly what it does. It keeps that from flowing out. So you've got it inside of you, but it's locked up in there, because this stronghold is preventing it from living out in your daily life. That's exactly what I talked about when I said, how does a minister fall? How do longtime Christians stay defeated? How do they have victory in one area? It's all because of strongholds. So if you can destroy the strongholds, you can allow the life of God to begin to flow out of your life. So that's what a stronghold is. Strongholds are like computer viruses. Have any of you ever had a virus on your computer? Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I mean, I'll be having encounters with God. I'll be praying in the Spirit. I'll be receiving revelation. And then my computer has a virus. And it's like, am I even saved? I mean, I want to smash the thing to pieces. I get so angry. My wife calls, how you doing? Hey, I've gone from praying in tongues to, oh, just great. This stupid machine again. Because what a computer virus does is it mimics the pre-designed proper code. And it keeps that machine locked up from operating as it was designed to work. And the more skilled the person that develops the virus is, the more similar it looks to the original code and the harder it is to spot. That's the way Stronghold works. Sometimes the way you know your computer has a virus is you just say, I'm not sure. It's just not working the way that it's supposed to work. That's in your Christian life. Something's not working. This couldn't be the way God designed for me to work. Especially if we're in a church like this. Because you know that that can't be the case. You know that you're not supposed to live in sickness. You know that you're not supposed to live in defeat. You know that God's not teaching you something by causing you to be defeated. And yet you say, but it's just not working the way that it's supposed to work. That's because there's a stronghold and you need to get that demolished. You need to identify it and you need to destroy it. And that's what the Holy Spirit's about to do now that you know what a stronghold is. So that's what it is. How do they develop? They develop the same way they did in the natural. The enemy seeks for high ground. He seeks for a place where he can water it, like I said, with lies. He seeks for a seed plot in your life somewhere where he can sow deception. And those areas where he finds that are the areas, it's interesting that we sang that song about surrender, are the areas where there's not full surrender to the Lord. That's when it becomes fertile ground. That's when it becomes an area where he can latch onto it. And so you see, Satan works from the outside in. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture? That God works from the inside out. Jesus was big on this. Jesus said, make pure the inside and the outside will be pure. God says, I want your heart. Because if I can get into your spirit, Jesus didn't say, from your head will flow rivers of living water. He said, from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And God knows if he can get those waters flowing from your innermost being, they'll flow out. But the enemy works from the outside in. And so he's seeking those places. He's looking for those things in your life. He's looking for that chink in your armor. He's looking for that fertile ground. And Paul says they're high thoughts. It's that prideful type of thinking. And did you know that what looks like humility can often be pride? Let me give you an illustration of my life. I don't know if you've ever heard this story about Martin Luther. But Martin Luther, the great reformer, oh, God had used him so much. And there was a time where he just wallowed in defeat. He just said, I'm no good. I'm not who people think I am. God called me to do this, and who am I to do it? Some people said, oh, that sounds so humble. Oh, you're seeing who you really are. It's not really God. And his wife said, Martin, I have a question for you. And he said, yes. And she said, when did God die? And he said, what? And she said, when did God die? And he said, that's the craziest question I've ever heard. And she said, well, based upon the way you're acting, he's got to be dead, you see, because you're saying that. So what he thought was humility was really pride. And my wife called me on this once. I said, oh, it's just, she said, are you so arrogant that you think Jesus' word will work for anybody but you? These high thoughts. You got to surrender those things to the Lord. You've got to, and it's not just high thoughts, it's old patterns of thought. Old patterns of thought. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Speaking to believers, by changing the way you think. What did he say there? High thoughts. Strongholds are a thought pattern. And he says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Here's the amazing things about strongholds. Satan builds them, but believers issue him the building permit. Isn't that crazy? He can't do it otherwise. We have to say, here's the permit. Go ahead and start construction. It's the way that it works. Paul said it this way in Ephesians. I really like this verse. He said, stop giving, this literally means real estate. Stop giving real estate to the devil. That means it's a choice. He can't build a stronghold unless he has real estate. Don't give it to him. Don't give him the building permit. Don't issue it to him. Satan's name, we learned yesterday in the Greek seminar, is Diabolos. You say diabolical. Diabolos, which means what? Which means one who casts nets across your life. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, there's Diabolos. Jesus said, I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me. A better translation is, there's nothing in me that he can latch on to. There's not one inch of real estate that he can build a stronghold on. There's nothing that I give him permission in my life because there's no area in my life that's not surrendered over to the Lord. And this is what happens. This is why Paul mentioned this to Timothy. He said, some believers, they become deceived. Then they'll come to their senses, which is a word that means come out of a drunken stupor. And they'll escape from the devil's trap, for they've been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. In other words, there's a stronghold erected in their lives. Now, how are strongholds defended? If that's how they're built, if they're built by believers issuing the building permit and giving the enemy permission because there's either arrogance or old patterns of thoughts in our life, how does he keep it that way? How can he keep it to where you come into service and God is moving and you receive freedom and less than a week later the stronghold's still there, hasn't been torn down. It's just been shaken a little bit. There's just been some cracks in the wall. How do they maintain themselves? Here's how they do it. Here's how the enemy does it. He gets you to not acknowledge the stronghold. God uses me a lot in word of knowledge, very specific words of knowledge and words of wisdom. You would be amazed how many times God will have a very specific word and nobody will respond to that word. And I'll say, we've joked about it. I'm like, please respond. You're making me look bad. But that's not it. They'll call me later in tears and they'll say, Pastor, that was me. That was me to a T. And what they're saying is, I did not acknowledge the stronghold in my life. Because if people knew there was a stronghold in my life, I would feel embarrassed. I would feel inferior. And so we build elaborate camouflage around strongholds. Christians are experts at this. And the devil loves it because you can't defeat what you don't acknowledge. So you go up to somebody and the Spirit of God's been putting them on your heart all week and you've been interceding for them and you're not quite sure why, but you know that the Lord wants to help them. You know that the Lord wants to bless them. And you go up to them and you say, how are you doing today, brother? And they say, oh, just fine. Glory to God. And they're camouflaging that stronghold. And then we get into all types of self-deception, such as we either camouflage it or we just live with it. Well, God understands. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's got all revelation, so I'll just live with this stronghold in my life. That's one way that they stay in place. The other way that they stay in place is we fight the wrong enemy. He says the weapons of your warfare are not one of the enemies that we fight is we fight the symptoms. Have you ever known anybody that for 20 years takes pain pills but never finds out the source of the pain? And then I've talked to people like this. Years later, they said, if I had known that if I had just been able to have this procedure or just change this about my lifestyle or just change that, I wouldn't have had to take in the pain pills. But I took them year after year after year. I became the poster child for Advil or Tylenol. But all I would have had to have done was get rid of the source of the pain. This is the Christian that lives from breakthrough to breakthrough. Thank God for breakthroughs. You're going to receive breakthroughs today. But breakthroughs aren't designed to be a line of demarcation where you live to until you get to the next one. What they're designed to do is set your feet on the right path and keep you free and make you agents of freedom to other people. But if you're treating the symptoms, you will always live from breakthrough to breakthrough. You will always say, oh, isn't God good? Oh, how am I going to do this? Isn't God? Because you're treating the symptoms, and the devil loves it when you do that, because he can keep that water supply of doubt. He can keep that water supply of unbelief. He can keep those thoughts that are designed to destroy you in place. So he's got you fighting the symptoms rather than fighting the problem. The other thing he wants you to do is fight people. He says, we don't war according to the flesh. That's the word where we get the word in English, strategy, from. We don't strategize according to the flesh. This is where you hear people say, I tried praying and it didn't work. I prayed in the Spirit and it didn't work. Do you know what they mean? They prayed in the Spirit and asked God to help them with their predetermined man-made strategy. And of course it didn't work. God loves you too much to let that work. Because if he let that work, it would just be, you want to talk about a real mess. He wants us to fight each other. When people have strongholds, people that have real strongholds in their life are really good at this. That's the problem. That's the reason I'm this way. This is the reason I'm that way. It's my spouse. It's my church. It's this. It's that. It's God. Oh, I'm not supposed to say it's God because I'm a believer, but I really, oh, it's this. It's this. They're blaming other people, and that's the enemy's tactic. And they'll war against other people to try to break the hold. And the whole time, all it does is strengthen it. All it does is fortify it. This is the reason he said earlier, old ways of thinking. Oh, before I was a believer, if somebody did me wrong, I was really good at strategizing their revenge. I'd daydream about it. And if it looked like they were going to get something coming to them, I'd say, oh, this is going to be a sweet day because of what they did to me. And I wish you could tell you, ever since I got born again, I've never done that again, but I have, and that's not good. But he says here, notice this, at the end, he says, then you will learn what is the God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Have you ever, don't ever try to hear from God when you're totally plotting revenge and fighting against other people. Because I've heard people say God's told them some really weird stuff that's not in line with the Word of God. And they're not hearing because their thinking is all messed up. Get your thinking right. Because if you get, see, you don't hear from God in your head. You hear from God in your heart. Some people say, the thought just came to me. Well, it didn't say his Spirit bears witness with our head that we're the children of God. It says his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Get your mind right. Get that stronghold torn down, and that direction and that purpose and that validity. You won't have to make everybody think you're spiritual to feel validated. That'll go away. That's a stronghold in itself. That true, pure word, that Spirit of God will well up out of you, and you'll have that clear, perfect, and you'll know what the will of God is. Okay? So, and then how do we demolish strongholds? I'm almost ready to pray for you. You demolish strongholds by knowing your weapons. What did he say there? The weapons of our strategy are not fleshly, but they're mighty through God, to the grabbing hold of, throwing down, breaking into pieces, and never reassembled. That's how mighty they are. And that word there, mighty, is it's a real special word. And it's a word that doesn't just mean powerful. It means an immense power. You know, I drove a smart car once. You guys know what a smart car is? Have you ever seen those? That got me from point A to point B. And I've driven a muscle car. There's a difference in power. There's a big difference in power. You see, he's talking immense power. And this word that says power also means possibility. Now, isn't that interesting? That he'd use a word that also means possibility in the same word. Why? You know what he's saying there? It's the same thing with the armor of God. It's not possible for the enemy to strategize something that you cannot pull down in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. You say, this stronghold's been in place for 20 years. Well, God can destroy it in 2 seconds. But you don't be proud. Don't say, I don't want anybody to see it. Because you know what the truth is? They may not see it, but they already see the outgrowth of it in our lives. And if somebody gets down on your case because you have a stronghold, they've got a huge one. So this morning, understand that the weapons of your warfare, as I lay my hands on you, what's going to happen is, it's not that I'm going to impart something to you. That can happen, but that's not what's going to happen this morning. I'm going to activate through the Spirit of God what's already on the inside of you that is waiting to break forth. And as the Spirit of God begins to break forth, that stronghold will just obliterate into a million pieces, and you'll walk out of here saying, I've never experienced it quite like that. Or you can say, no thanks, I'll be fine. And the next time I come through town, you'll say, hey, I don't like that guy. He's the guy that talked about strongholds. Let God set you free. The weapons of your warfare are mighty through God. And then the last thing is this. Know that God is right in your thoughts. He says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high are my thoughts above your thoughts. Get God's way of thinking. Remember that, well, I think Solomon said it best. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is a stronghold breaking scripture. And don't lean on your own understanding. Doesn't say don't have it. Doesn't say just check your brain at the door if you want God. It says, submit that to the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't lean on it. In all your ways, acknowledge His Lordship. Now, isn't this interesting? That just like the verse that we showed in Romans, where it talked about direction coming from proper thinking, the exact same thing is here. He says, then He will make your path straight. So there's a clear correlation in the Old and the New Covenant between receiving direction, receiving clarity of purpose, and a right way of thinking. So the way to destroy the stronghold is to know your weapon, stop fighting the wrong enemy, surrender to the Lord, and then remember that word there, it says logismos. That's the word there, your own way of thinking. This is the way I would put it. Don't rely on logismos, rely on logos. Rely on the Word. Go with God's way. And as the Spirit works in your heart this morning, that's what's going to take place. As I pray for you and as the Holy Spirit begins to minister to you, it's going to be like a transformation in your mind. God's going to start to say, no, stop thinking that way about it. He's going to say, here's the right way to think. Here's the right way to go. Here's the right way to yield. Here's the way. Stop plotting revenge. Stop saying, God, you promised me abundance. How's it going to come? Is it going to come this way? Or is it going to come that way? Is it going to come this way? The devil would love 10 years from now. You'd be saying, God gave me a word for financial abundance. Is it going to come from here? Is it going to come from there? Forget about how it's going to come. It's going to come exactly the way that God wants it to come. And if you'll let go of that and you'll begin to lean on the Lord, it will just flow into your life, still waters, green pastures. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Hallelujah. So I'm excited for the chance to minister to you, really to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you right now this morning. I don't know how we're doing on time. Are we in trouble? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what this. Let's just take a second. Wait before the Lord. Lord, I thank you that I'm on assignment. I'm on assignment. And I'm armed. I'm loaded up with the good things that you want to deliver. As I've said before, like a spiritual UPS truck, I have packages with specific names on them. And I'm here to deliver them. Now, as we're praying right now, I just want to let you know, you may say, well, I only like packages from UPS. Well, if it's the package you need, just receive it. God's going to give you something this morning. All He wants you to do is come and receive. All He wants you to do is come and receive. But He wants you to walk in total freedom in every area of your life. Not some. Not some, but all the promises of God are yes and amen. Now watch this. In Christ Jesus, And if you're in Christ Jesus, that means he wants all the promises of God not to just be yes and amen in you, but through you into your daily life. You're a walking Bible. You're a walking Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, I reverence you right now. I thank you that you're ready to do mighty things. You're ready to do amazing things. You're ready to do uncommon things. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Strongholds breaking. Strongholds breaking. Strongholds demolished. Strongholds demolished. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor Jan, is it okay if I have people come up for prayer? Is that okay? You sure? Okay. If right now the Holy Spirit wants to minister this freedom to you. Right now the Holy Spirit wants to minister. He wants to activate this stronghold demolishing force on the inside of you. Right now he wants to begin to transform your way of thinking. If you'll come and receive right now, I'm here in obedience to the Lord, and he's going to do this in your life. Right now. Hallelujah. Tonight, what the Spirit of God told me to do tonight was, and I said, okay, Lord, this was back a few weeks ago. He said, I want you to preach on the fire of God, and I'm going to fill people with a fresh infilling of the baptism and fire of the Holy Spirit. That's what he told me. That's what he told me about tonight. I want you to preach on the fire of God, and I'm going to fill people with a fresh infilling of the baptism and fire of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Praise God.
Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. I don't want to dismiss this service quite yet, but I want everyone to bow their heads for a moment in respect to those who possibly have never had the opportunity to give their heart and life to Jesus. I know that Keith would not want this service to pass without opening the altar up. That if you're here and you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'll give you the opportunity to come forward and to receive Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the beginning of a fresh new life. Hallelujah for your life. Life is not life if you're living just out of the natural. But if you are struggling with life and you decide to come just because you felt that it was the thing to do, you are probably more led by the Spirit than what you realize. Hallelujah. And so if you're here this morning and you could say, Pastor, I want to be prayed for. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. We would love to pray with you. Or if you've been out of fellowship with the Lord for a long time and you'd like to restore that walk that you have with Him, then praise God, feel free to come up right now. Anybody? Anybody's salvation or restoration of your fellowship, whatever it is, hallelujah, feel free to come up. Dear Heavenly Father, as now we dismiss your people and they go their way, may they have a victorious day. Then may they bring somebody tonight who needs the Spirit of God working in their life. And Father, we thank you for them being present. Amen. You're walking away with more than what you came. Amen. God bless you.